Hi, I'm Martin, and welcome to Upgrade Your Day, the podcast.
Well, we do quite a lot of foraging.
Do you?
I mean, our starter on Christmas Day is nettle ravioli that we made.
Hang on. Hang on, let's just backtrack a little bit here. Nettle?
Ravioli.
Nettle?
Nettle, as in nettles, you know, ravioli. Stingy nettles.
So today I am talking to a lovely friend of mine, Alicia. Now, Alicia is working with me on pantomime at the moment, but she has a background of art. She does painting parties. She's done some beautiful paintings of our dogs over the years. She is the perfect person to talk all things crafting, and that's what we're doing today. If you're anything like me, there's this element of... You think about doing some crafting to be mindful, and then you just see it as a sort of new hobby, and you have to buy things and invest and learn things and buying pottery wheels or whatever it may be, and you just go, oh, I'm just not going to bother. I'm just not going to bother. So we're talking about that today and how we can bother and how we can do some crafting ideas. We see it, we read it in the Mindful magazines, we read it online, and we just don't really bother. So what can we do to give ourselves that little bit of a kick to be more mindful when it comes to crafting? Crafting? What's crafting? Crafting. That's what it is. I'm tired. We're doing two shows a day at the moment. I'm absolutely knackered. So she is, Alicia, our company stage manager on Panto. So we're both a bit tired at the moment, but we're here. We're talking crafting and being mindful. So come on, this is Alicia.
Oh, this is going to need far too much editing.
Oh dear, this is ridiculous. We've been yapping all day, and as soon as we put a microphone in front of our face, we can't talk. I am here with my lovely friend and fellow Panto... Well, what would we call you, really? Well, your official title.
Well, that might be an idea.
Is stage manager.
Company stage manager.
Company
actually.
Stage manager. So obviously people know that I'm in the performing arts and I'm doing Panto at the moment at the Theatre Royal Windsor. You are our company stage manager, which means...
Well, a stage manager looks after the stage and everything that goes on the stage in terms of technical stuff, really. Mm-hmm. And a company stage manager or a company manager, quite often they're separate roles.
Oh.
A company manager looks after the company. I'm like your pastoral carer.
Oh, yes. That's another title you can give yourself. Well, we are halfway through our Panto run. My little mindful journey has been quite interesting because we've had little chats, haven't we? That
have
popped up here and there. And this is why I love doing them as we go along, because we were in rehearsals. And just explain to my lovely listeners what you have on you, on your... Is it your bracelet? Is it your bracelet?
I've got bracelets and a ring and a necklace.
Bracelet, ring and necklace. So in a previous podcast, I did mention how, long story short, I wanted like a little tattoo or something so that I could look at it and know that all my gratitude and mindfulness is all in this little thing, and I can just see it and it reminds me. A little bit like when you get anxiety and you put elastic band and you're meant to sort of like snap it, aren't you? So
that could be more anxiety.
Yes. And then I can't remember what we were doing in rehearsal. Something was going on. I don't know. Something happened and you said to me, just remember. And then you showed me your ring, as you do.
Absolutely.
And what does your ring on the inside, it says?
Oh, it says it on the outside, actually.
Oh, it says
but
it
it's
on the
quite
outside.
Faint. You can hardly see it. It says, just breathe.
Just breathe. On a ring to remind you to just breathe. And your bracelet...
Well, I have three, actually.
Yeah, she's got three bracelets, all different colours.
One says, you got this.
You got this, which is my favourite saying.
Which is just, yeah.
Yeah,
I do need to remind myself of that.
And sometimes it can sound a bit corny, or people think it sounds a little bit like, oh, cliched. But there's a reason, isn't there? Like, you got this. Three simple words.
Yes, well, because we all have, you know, anxiety before first day of a new job or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I've been here for a while now doing Panto, I'm still like, oh, it's first day, got to meet everybody, meet new people, I hope they're all nice. And, and I'm like, no, you got this.
Got this.
Crack on.
That's it. And you know, on opening nights of Panto in the past, I have been a nervous wreck. and even though not everybody would know it, because some people are surprised, an absolute mess. However, since my mindfulness journey, honest, I'm excited, because I think, well, what's the worst that can happen? And at the end of the day, you just go home and have a glass of wine and just...
Absolutely.
You wake up the
next
day,
crack. As long as we haven't killed anybody, it's all good.
I haven't fallen down a trap
door. That's what we all say. We're like, oh, well, that show was interesting, but nobody died. So onwards.
On we go to the next day. You know, and it's so weird because we get ourselves all wound up and all in our heads, and that's all it is, in your head. And the amount of times I've gone on to the stage and I've gone through my lines at the last minute and then I've forgotten bits and then I've gone on panicking, and then of course you just go wrong. You know, you just have to trust that you know it, just breathe, you got this, and crack on with it.
Absolutely.
So what does your third bracelet say?
Oh, well, the second one says which is potentially a little bit more, people would say, corny. It says serenity, courage, wisdom.
Oh, nice. Serenity, courage, wisdom.
You know, peace, saying to yourself you've got this, having the courage to just get on with it.
Yeah.
And wisdom to know that some things you can't change, and you just have to crack on.
You have to crack on, which is a lovely mindful thing, isn't it? Like, don't put your head in the sand. Admit it, or be aware of it.
Accept,
put it out
it
there, accept it, and how you deal with it can put you in a better place.
And the third one says perfectly imperfect, which is my favourite one, actually.
Perfectly imperfect.
Because nobody's perfect. Nothing is perfect.
No, they're not.
We have to embrace mistakes.
Yes, which we do at every show.
Well, and sometimes the mistakes stay, don't they?
Sometimes the mistakes stay because we get a good laugh and it gets put in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. You just keep adding and adding and adding.
Sometimes mistakes are happy mistakes and they actually are an improvement.
Sometimes they're not happy mistakes and you walk off stage with a bruise and a cut leg.
Black eye.
Hey, but you learn from it because you never do that again.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think actually this is the whole thing, because next year I'm going to be producing some shows which are all positive, inspiring shows, all to do with upgrade your day. And I think that is the important thing of why I want to move it into theatre as well, because I think theatre is a way to upgrade your day, and it is a very mindful experience, because it's a, I guess for some people it's a hobby, it's obviously careers for people like myself, but I think it is a very mindful thing to do, and working in theatre is definitely mindful. And actually you have a background, because you work a lot with amateur operatic societies, don't you?
Yeah.
And again, that for a lot of people, they might have a career or a full-time job and they do that as their hobby. But what a great hobby to have, and what amazing things to learn by doing that.
Absolutely.
And I think, what's your necklace saying?
My necklace says, laugh.
Laugh?
Laugh.
You're full of wisdom, Alicia.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of the time, if you don't laugh, you would be crying.
Yes.
And I like to err on the positive.
Yes.
So, you know.
No, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And I think this podcast is all about crafting, because you have a background in art.
I do.
As well as the arts. So just fill me in a little bit about your art background.
Well, I mean, I've always been an arty-farty person.
Oh.
And a maker and a crafter. My mum was a seamstress.
Was she?
Yeah, she used to do a lot of seamstressing. If you've seen Panto, you'll understand that. she was a needlework teacher.
Oh.
And so she used to make all our clothes when we were little. And,
oh, nice.
She made my wedding dress. She made my sister's wedding dress.
Wow.
I think actually, secretly, she really would have liked to have been a maker.
Yeah.
But she was a teacher.
Right.
And she tried to persuade us both from being teachers, me and my sister. My sister, she succeeded with me, not so much. So, I mean, I used to make things. I was always drawing as a kid. I used to make clothes for my dollies. I knitted a whole, outfit for my Barbie. Using cocktail sticks.
You're joking.
So that the knit was the right size for the Barbie. So she had like a long tube skirt and a little waistcoat and a belt and a matching handbag.
That's quite a talent, actually.
I made that for my Barbie.
But
I was about nine.
Saying that, because we obviously talk about mindfulness in kids and how we have to try and get them to be more mindful and take some time out and so on and so on. But for you to knit a Barbie outfit with cocktail sticks.
Yeah.
That's definitely some time out there. Yeah, right?
That's a little bit strange, isn't it? Let's be honest.
No, I love it. No, I think it's brilliant.
And I used to make gifts for people. Honestly, my sister, because she's quite a bit older than me, she her boyfriends always used to get gifts from her little sister, and I went through a phase of making these things. So they were basically a pom pom. So I'd make a pom pom and then make it like little feet and put googly eyes on it.
Oh my god.
Used to make loads of them. They were everywhere.
I love that.
And then, yes, I'd gift them to her boyfriends.
But did you go for a stage of making all your own clothes, or did you never do that?
I've never actually done that, really.
Because that's quite a lovely
I always intend to do that. Yeah. I bought loads of fabric just before lockdown. I was like, right, here we go. I've got patterns. Ooh, I've got...
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fabric's still sitting there.
Yeah, yeah, still, yeah.
And I made my husband a pair of trousers.
Wow.
Patchwork.
Okay.
He decided he wanted these funky kind of festival trousers.
Yes, I've got a few
little
of those.
Bit. What's the style of them? They're like MC Hammer is yep. what I'm thinking. But no, harem pants. That's what they are.
Yes, yes. My husband's got a few of them.
So patchwork. So I made all this patchwork out of all this cool fabric, tie-dyed fabric, and everything. And then I cut out the pattern that I'd got online. Oh my god. They're still sitting there waiting for me to finish them because of a complete disaster. When he put them on, I was like, oh no, I've done something wrong there. So they're a work in progress.
Well, do you know what's really important? Because I've got this online. I'm going to read this because this tags into exactly what you're saying. On this website here, it says why mindful crafting is good for your mental health, plus how you can host a crafter session. I don't know, something about something. It says here, the mental health charity Mind, you know Mind, mm-hmm. has released new research suggesting that spending too much time on social media is affecting our moods, particularly among younger adults, which we pretty much know, don't we?
Yeah.
And it says, research evidence from the British Journal of Occupational Therapy suggests that craft activities, when done on a regular basis, can improve mood and increase feelings of relaxation. So Mind is calling on people of all ages to get creative and sign up for da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So making your own clothes like that could be such a lovely way to switch off social media and whatever else is going on, and create something, which is quite exciting because I wish I could make clothes. I'd be making them all the time.
It's also a little bit stressful because then, well, you know, yes. you potentially make something and it's rubbish. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed making the patchwork element, and then it was quite stressful making the actual trousers, and now they're a disaster, and you know, they've been put to one side because I'm like,
So that's important to remember, isn't it? So it's good if you go craft because you want to be mindful, just be careful what you craft.
Well, I think really, you know, quite often I set my sights too high,
yes.
and I'm like, yes, I haven't made any clothes for however long since I knitted a Barbie outfit, but I'm going to make some adult man trousers.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of a leap there.
Yeah. I'm a high achiever as well. I throw myself straight into, like, I'm going to build a house. You know, that is difficult for me, rather than just paint a wall. Yeah. Paint a wall somewhere. Do that first. So that is important. I think we should all remember that. If we go crafting, we just start small. Or just be aware when, you know...
No, that everything needs a little bit of practice.
Yeah, and a little bit of... Because you were saying to me earlier about, before we recorded, you were saying about colouring in. Now, in my book, The Companion, I've got like 10 pages of colouring in.
You have.
But what I also mentioned is that you should create your own, because what was it you said to me?
Well, I've got so many of these mindful type colouring books, because I'm like, oh, I love colouring in, but I find them quite stressful.
Mm.
Because they're all quite, you know, they're quite small, especially the adult ones. And I just get a bit frustrated because I'm not finishing it. Or I'm like, oh, no, I don't like that bit that I've done there. Or I just find it a bit stressful.
And
so I end up doodling instead.
Because people will buy them thinking, oh, this will make me mindful. And they start it and they get too stressed. And so you've got to be aware of that, haven't you? So just be careful of what you do. Or just remember,
to do your own thing, which, and I love, like I say in my book, to write a word and then doodle in the word, or just make up your own drawings and
yeah,
things.
Absolutely.
Just draw a field with a house in it or something, and sketch your own stuff. You don't have to buy these colouring books, and like you say, some of it is, or thick black lines and then very small amount to colour in, and you just think, what's the point? Isn't it really?
Yes.
Like the colouring in by numbers, I was never good at that as a kid, because I always felt like I'm not good at being told what to do, funny enough.
She knows, like, why is that bit blue? I don't want to do that bit blue.
Well, do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, that, all the numbers. Mm. And you just go, no, I want to paint it whatever I want to paint it. So I never used to do them. But at no point did I ever think to myself, I'm just going to do what I want to do. It was kind of like, if I can't do it, then I'm not doing it. So I think that's... Now I got stubborn as well then. Just stubborn. Like, nah, get rid of it. So I think that's so important. If ever you do anything mindful, activity-wise, just make it work for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't follow any other rules. Have you ever made candles?
No, not entirely.
So I did that last year. I thought, I want to make candles rather than spend a lot of money on them.
Yeah.
So in my head, I was thinking, oh, I'm going to be the next...
make soap.
The next Jo Malone here with my candles. These are going to be sold all over the world. Well, I mean, I started... And do you know what? The making of the candle is very mindful. It's very lovely. It's really enjoyable.
When you're not burning yourself with hot wax.
Hot wax, no. Well, what I did do, as I tested it, so it says on a lot of these things on Google to put like 4 or 5 drops of essential oil in for the scent. So I made one and I put, I think it was 10 drops of essential oil. Didn't smell a thing. It just, there's nothing. So I did another one. I doubled it, nothing. And then I did another one.
And you poured
this whole
bottle
in. This is a lot about
my
personality, yeah. I put like 5 bottles of essential oil. There was more essential oil than there was wax.
So it didn't stink.
It stank. The house stank the moment you lit it. But of course, really good candles, like, they're expensive for a reason, because you like
them. They're all essential oils. No wax.
They smell beautiful, you know. I actually think there's one very expensive candle, and someone bought me a little version of it, which is still probably about 50 quid. And as soon as you light it, the whole house smelled. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, it's worth spending a bit of money if you can. If not, put 1,200 bottles of essential oils into a candle. But again, I sort of gave up a little bit, because I just thought, well, I can't be using all... This isn't right. And what I'm going to do next year is research how to do it properly, because one of the things I'd love to do to have a bit of time out is make candles, because what a lovely gift for people.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going back to gifting and making, because there's nothing better now than being given something that you... Like, I make a sloe gin at Christmas and give to all my neighbours, and they love it. But in return, last year, one of our neighbours makes a homemade cranberry sauce.
Oh, nice.
And it's proper, like, crushed cranberries. Absolutely delicious. And do you know what? That meant more to me, that little present from a neighbour, than some of the stuff that you get given. You
well,
know?
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, we made hampers for our family. Probably 2-3 Christmases ago.
I remember you saying about
this.
Yeah,
and we made sloe gin, and we made some sort of berry that we'd foraged.
Oh. Is it a berry that you're meant to
I can't remember what it is now. I mean, to be fair, I wasn't that keen on it. It was okay with cold meats.
So it was a
jelly. I think we made it into some sort of jelly.
Oh.
And we made cranberry sauce, and we made homemade ketchup.
Well, I'll tell you what, actually, when I made the sloe gin, because obviously sloes in a cheap gin, sugar, what did I do? Sugar, gin, and sloes. That's it. Leave it for 3 months.
Did you do a sloe whiskey as well?
I did a sloe whiskey.
What was that like?
That was a cheap whiskey. Well, sloe gin turns in... Sloe... Right, hang on, let me say this right. Sloes and gin turn into sloe gin. But sloes and whiskey turn into sloes and whiskey. Like,
oh, right,
like,
okay.
You could taste a bit of sloe, but you could taste... It didn't blend properly.
Right, okay.
I also did that with a bacon whiskey once. I read an American recipe.
Bacon?
Where you make the bacon whiskey. And you put... you cook bacon and you put it in the whiskey.
That sounds...
But I think
horrible.
Our bacon's a bit different to American bacon. I think it's meant to be like a really...
Was that not just like fatty alcohol?
Well, no, it just tasted like bacon that had been sat in whiskey for a few days. It wasn't good. But someone did say to me on one of my rambles that I did about how much you can forage, which, you know, as long as the birds get their share and everything like that, you do it properly, all the stuff you can do. And I thought, 1 year, I really want to try and do as much of that as my little mindful activity for the year. And they said about the little what are the little berries you can pick that birds don't have, I don't think. It makes like a syrup that you can put water in. They're like little red berries.
Maybe that is the berries we would...
Yeah, because I always thought they were poisonous, but they're not. Now. They're like... I don't know. If anyone's listening to this, you might...
Help us out.
If anyone's listening to this, you might actually know what they are. But they're little berries, and they make a little syrup that you can put water in. It's like a fruit juice, like a squash.
And we do quite a lot of foraging.
Do you?
I mean, our starter on Christmas Day is nettle ravioli that we made.
Hang on. Hang on. Let's just backtrack a little bit here. Nettle
ravioli.
Nettle
as in nettles, you know, ravioli. Stingy nettles. So stingy nettles, when you cook them up, because you make nettle soup, nettles when you cook them are quite like spinach,
right?
And they don't sting you when you eat them, I promise.
Of course.
So yeah, we cook up the nettles. We only pick like the sort of, you know, the succulent sort of baby bits at the top. And then we cook them up with garlic and I think there's a bit of parmesan in there, so it kind of gets, it's like a sort of mush, and then you put that mush into the middle of your pasta and you make a little ravioli parcel. That's our starter on Christmas Day. We have three little parcels, and they have like a buttery garlicky sauce over them. They're really nice.
Okay, but do the nettles give it, like, could it just be spinach?
But you'd have to go and buy spinach. We forage the nettles.
It's a little bit of a cost exercise as well.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's good. The kids come foraging. You know, we have our gloves on.
Can you this year maybe make a couple of extra pieces and bring it to
I've got them in the freezer. I'll bring them in.
Oh, my God.
They're in the freezer.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
We have them all bagged up in the freezer so we can go, oh, what are we going to have for dinner? Let's have some nettle ravioli.
And do you know what? How brilliant, because that is quite a crafting thing, because ravioli, those little pockets can be full of anything.
Absolutely.
And, the stuff you could make to stuff them and get them in the freezer, because that's the thing. Sometimes I say to my husband, I really want like an afternoon of cooking, you know, when you really want to just chill out, maybe listen to a podcast, not myself, but maybe myself, but you just want to listen to a podcast and just chill out. But sometimes a lot of what we cook is all quite quick, or you know, when you want to work at something. So to make something that you then put into homemade ravioli, that's something that you can actually work at and develop and taste, and it gives you something to do, and you can freeze it and cook it for that night.
Yep.
That's a lovely thing. Ravioli is the way forward, isn't
it? Absolutely. And well, it's really quick to cook as well.
Yeah. And you can do giant ravioli.
Yeah, I mean, they're quite big, these ones. I'll bring some in. Can sample.
This is just fascinating. Well, listen, what I've got here is the Good Housekeeping, whatever it is. They have got their top 40 of unusual craft ideas for adults.
All right.
To be mindful.
Okay.
Do you know what's number one? Decorative pinboard. Create a personalized or seasonal display by hanging photos, cards, and artwork from an old window frame. Oh. Add on small bulldog clips by using a hot glue gun.
So like scrapbooking, but...
like a scrapbook.
On a display.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you could, I guess, like, if it was, say, the month of December, you could have, like, 12 bulldog clips, and it could be like, we're going to fill all them with just bits, maybe some leaves that you've found in a picture, or... and you make your little December display. I guess you could take a photo of it and then start again, and then you've got all these photos of each month.
Well, and you could do that with I used to do at school, we used to have a advent calendar. But it was like a little washing line. So a bit of string and like those little baby pegs, and on each baby peg there was a little envelope, and then so it would be one, you know, for advent. So we'd open one envelope every day, and there would be a fact about an artist, because I was an art teacher. So the kid, and then we'd have the little fact and the little picture of their artwork on our little thing.
Oh, that's nice.
But you can do any sort of advent calendar like that and personalise it.
Yeah. And I think the thing is that sometimes people just go, it's the time, because people are busy, busy, busy.
Mm.
And it's working. You really have to. Like, everyone can find time. It's just trying to work it out. And you know when people say get up earlier? No one wants to get up earlier. Go to bed later. People just need to get to bed as soon as they can. So it's trying to find in the day places where you can find that little bit of time.
Yeah.
On here, this next one, it's got DIY wallpaper. You see, so what they're saying is you can decorate a wall with like plain wallpaper, and then you get sponges and things, and then you make it yourself.
That sounds like a disaster waiting to happen.
But at the same time, if you've got a wall in your house that you could do that on, that could be great fun.
Well, absolutely. Well, I mean, a lot of children now have a blackboard wall, don't they? A chalkboard wall in their bedrooms.
Yes.
Where they can just doodle and, well, create their own wallpaper.
What a lovely thing to do. But even if you've got like a downstairs loo or something, just why not give it a go?
Yeah,
it's quite a mindful thing to, and you could keep changing it, couldn't you? Because I'm sure plain wallpaper's dead cheap. It must be cheap, you know, like brown paper. And they've got loads of other things. What they have got, and I'm not sure if you've done this before, it's got oven bake clay. So they're basically saying buy the clay that's ready. Is clayed and makes
clayed.
That's my technical version. Make plant pots. Just get it. Make plant pots. And it's saying just make the sort of base. It can even just be like a thumb, like a small plant pot, like a sort of thumb in and build it up. But then just, you know, roll up all the little bits, put them around, decorate them, and pop them in the oven, and you can paint them. But you don't really think about doing that yourself. But that is a lovely Sunday afternoon chill out, making a few little plant pots, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because you also do, tell me a little bit about your painting parties you've done, haven't you?
Yes, indeed. Well, I mean, there are quite a lot of businesses out there that franchise out and do paint parties. So lots of people go to paint parties where they they're normally in a pub or somewhere where you can have a drink.
Yeah.
And gangs of friends go. And somebody is at the front sort of talking you through essentially what is kind of like a paint by numbers, because everybody does the same thing.
Right, yes, okay, yeah.
And I'm not keen on that, because I'm like, So I've done them where we are kind of doing the same thing, but I give everybody a bit more free rein than that. So I tend to have, okay, this is the theme. We're going to do this picture of some trees and a landscape, and I'm going to give you these colours, and I'm going to give you these tools, and this is what we're sort of, you know, heading for, but, you know, be creative, do your own thing.
Nice.
So I had one where we were doing trees and a sun, but it could, I had a different, you know, different sort of inspirations for people. I said, but you could do, you know, a darker sky and have a moon. I had one person that did a very gnarly tree, and then was like, she was desperate to do a dragon, so she did a dragon.
Why not? Yeah.
With her tree.
You do you.
Yeah, and the outcomes from that were all really different, actually, which was quite good, because quite a lot of people go to these sort of parties as a couple.
Yeah.
Or so you're like, you don't want two pictures the same in your house, do you?
No, it's true, actually.
So
all the same as everyone else.
Yeah, quite a few couples came to that one, and so, you know, their pictures were quite different, so they could hang both their pictures up rather than having two pictures the same.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's a great thing to do. Because also, you know, I did a BTEC in art and design, and then I went to do a national one, and I just gave up because I just didn't really like being at college. But again, I really loved doing the charcoal drawing. I liked using watercolour oils. And I think there's probably a lot of people listening to this now which probably did art at college. Like, I had the case.
Oh, yeah.
And I had, you know, the special putty rubber.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the whole work, and all the HBs and all in my little box. God, I can remember it now. And I loved it, but of course, you know, life goes on and time changes and you sort of don't bother. But I think now when you go to places like shops like The Works, where it's dead cheap and you can buy canvases for like a quid or, absolutely, you know, £3 and you've got all the arts there, I'm very tempted to just, if I could try and get like a little bit of time where I want to just have a bit of a me time, a home retreat.
Absolutely.
A day where it's just me and whatever I'm doing, whatever music.
Or even
music,
when you're out on a ramble.
Or out on a ramble and just do a painting. Just go, right, let's just do it. Let's just go for it.
Watercolour's so easy to do that if you're out and about.
Yeah. But you never think about it, do you? You always think, oh, you know, it's just buying something. It's going to be a waste of money. And it doesn't have to become a whole new project or hobby. It could be just something that you obviously don't want to spend a huge amount of money if you're not going to do it much.
Well, but you occasionally pick it up or not.
Just a day. Yeah. Even if you did once a year, you just had a little, like after Panto, I always try and have a few weeks of really chilling out. And I love the idea of going, right, do you know what? On Thursday, I'm going to set up a little easel. I'm going to, whatever I'm going to do, and I'm going to have a day of just painting.
Well, I've got a lot of easels. You can borrow one whenever you like.
Well, I tell you what as well. I mean, obviously not everyone has an eye for it, and probably not myself either.
Well, no, you see, now this is the thing that makes me sad.
What?
Because having been an art teacher.
Yeah.
A lot of people, even as children, have a big hang up that they can't draw.
Yes.
And as you people grow into adults, it gets even worse. Oh no, I can't draw. Everybody can draw.
Yeah.
Everybody can draw. It's a form of expression.
Yeah.
Everybody can make a mark on a page. Yeah. It's one of the first things we do before we can communicate in any other way.
Yeah.
So everybody can draw. It's, you know, it's all about perception as to who or whether it is any good.
Mm.
You know, art is beauty in the eye of the beholder, you know. And if one person might like, you know, it's a masterpiece, look, it's worth millions.
Yeah.
But you might think, oh God, what is that? I don't like that. I wouldn't have that on my wall.
Yeah.
But to somebody else, they'll be like, oh, it's beautiful. I can see this in it. I can see that in it.
Yeah.
So it really annoys me when people say they can't draw because it's not true.
Because to me, if I did it on a home retreat, and I created that in a day, then that's really special to me because that's a day of chilling out and being mindful.
Yeah.
And that would mean a lot to me, actually.
Yeah.
But you see, this is where we come back to what we talked about before. Because of what I'm like, I would want to buy like a 4 foot by 4 foot of canvas. And I'd want to create something where my husband comes home and goes, wow, we're going to put that up in the hallway.
Well, you see, what you could do is you could buy canvas fabric, stretch it out somewhere, paint on it, and then you might be like, oh, I love that bit there. Cut it out. Put it on a frame.
That's an idea.
And then, or you might go, I love that bit, and I love that bit over there, but don't like that bit in the middle. That was a bit of a disaster. You've got two pictures.
Yeah. Because that's the thing we all do, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but I go to a lot of, you go to a lot of shops, and you see a lot of artwork, and I always think to myself, oh, I could do that myself.
Yeah.
Especially with photos, all these beautiful photos of, oh, I'd do that myself. And do you know what? We can, but we never have the time.
Yeah. Or we never make the time.
We never make the time. That's the difference. And do you know what? When our lovely little dog passed away a couple of years ago, I remember we had this beautiful picture of her, and it's one of the first times that I actually got a proper framer to frame it and do it properly. Because otherwise, I'll get something from IKEA and put it in, and 2 years later, it's gone wobbly and it's fallen down, and the frame's moved. And honestly, that was I did that, and then I did a few other ones after. We went to Copenhagen, and I brought back a lovely art print, and I actually took it somewhere and got it framed properly.
Mm.
And again, it's actually taken that little bit of time just to be a little bit more precious with it and set it up, or else otherwise it doesn't work. And I think that's important. I think it's important to find a good photo, because we're all photographers now, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely.
We're all photographers. Every year, maybe that's a nice little crafting thing. Every year, find a picture that you really love and get it framed properly, if you could afford it, or whatever you can do, and get it put up on the wall. I think that's a nice thing to do.
I should do that.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. For being such a visual, arty person, I have very few pictures up in my house.
Well, how weird. Because you could fill your house with canvases because you're
so good. Well, I mean, our bedroom's got loads of canvases in that I did when we moved into our first house a long time ago to sort of match the bedroom. So they're all kind of sort of weird patterns, but all within a colour theme.
Mm.
Which actually I'm not that keen on them anymore, but I'm like, I don't know what to replace them with. And then we've got my husband's GCSE artwork is up in our lounge.
That sounds hilarious.
Which everyone thinks is weird because they're like, why have you got goat skulls on the wall?
Oh. There you go.
But, you know, that was,
How great that that's what it is, though. How brilliant. It's your husband's GCSE art.
There's a massive painting of mine that's in my daughter's bedroom because basically we had nowhere else to put it, so I'm like, I'm putting it up in your room.
Whatever works for you is absolutely fine. And do you know what I saw when we did Glastonbury Festival last year when I was working there? There was a store. Again, I did it again, Lysia. This is what I did. They have a mirror. And what they do is it was a big round mirror in a big wooden frame, sort of natural wood, almost like washed up on the beach kind of wood. And then they had they broke up little bits of china and then stuck it around the sort of frame, all bits of china. But what they did is it was all beautiful patterns, and it was all kind of like a almost like a yellow brick road of all different bits and bobs. And what they did is have like, you know, like a teacup, they'd cut it in half, so then there was like half a teacup, or if it was like little ornaments. So it was, I think you must use like a cement you can buy from a craft shop, cover something in cement.
Well, and then like a tiling
cement, yeah, and just like smash up plates or really patterned objects, stick
children,
them all in.
Do not smash up your parents' plates.
No, but yeah, don't, yeah, be careful.
Stick
please
them
be
on
careful.
The wall.
Be careful, everyone, please.
Mummy, I've had a mindful crafting day.
Yes. Yes, I've broken all your plates, cups.
They were so pretty. Yes.
Stuck them all in with dishwasher tablets and some peas. And some but at least I was
some
mindful.
Twisty pasta.
I've upgraded my day by being mindful by smashing the house up. Lovely.
Martin told me to.
But do you know what, though? That's another great thing. And man, just go, right, I'm going to get this object, a vase. I'm going to cover it in some sort of cement. And then I am going to just stick stuff on it to make it.
But it's a good way of actually sort of recycling. You know, yeah. If you've got a favourite vase and actually you get massive chip, or you know, it gets broken, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm really upset. That's my great Auntie Joan's vase.
Yes.
You could actually then, you know, make it into
you
something else.
You could do that. Yeah. And there's those lovely vases, I don't remember what it's called, I wish I had it at hand, where they fix them with gold.
Oh, with gold,
don't
yes,
they?
Yeah.
And it's kind of shown that even though it was broken, it's such a
the
beautiful...
The cracks are all part... Yeah,
the part of that, making it even more beautiful, because we're all full of cracks, and that's what it's about. We've talked about drawing and painting and ceramics and Barbie clothes making with cocktails that we've... We have given everyone a plethora of ideas, essential oils, the works. There are so much.
Nettle pasta.
Nettle pasta. I still can't get over that. I tell
Wait
you.
Wait till you taste it.
I'm already, next year, one of my mindful activities is going to be ravioli making. And spending time to make something, freeze it, give it out to people maybe as a nice little gesture. And I really want to research crystals and essential oils. That's my two things I really want to look at next year. So I think it's a case of just, you know, seeing what happens. And if other people want to get on board the Upgrade Your Day crafting sessions, let's get it going. Let's see what we can do and share your stories, share ideas. I'm always posting on social media anyway, so just, you know, drop some ideas on there for other people to do, and just trying to work out times to do it. Well, thank you, Alicia. I hope that's given lots of our lovely listeners some ideas of how to do some mindful crafting in the future, and I can't wait to see your crafting vases. Neither can you. Thank you, my darling. There you go. I hope we gave you some ideas moving forward. I hope there's some things there which maybe you hadn't ever thought of before, and you might just go, you know what? I've just listened to that Upgrade Your Day podcast with Martin and Alicia, and I'm going to do one of those things. I'm just going to do something, take a day, a little home retreat to myself to do a little bit of crafting and see what happens. It could turn into a whole new hobby. I mean, hey, it could turn into a whole new business. Who knows? But at the same time, it could be something that, like when we say about writing a letter to yourself or writing things on paper and then burning them, those kind of cathartic moments, it could be something that just gets thrown away, but it's giving you a moment to be mindful. And whatever that is for you, it's just giving you that time. So it doesn't have to be huge works of art that you gift or you sell or you put in the house. It could just be things that just get thrown away at the end of the day, a little bit like my candle I made that smell of nothingness. But it was fun to make it. Thank you so much for listening today. As always, you can find out everything you need to on upgradeyourday.co.uk. Everything's on the website. I'm still selling my 2023 mindfulness calendar with photos that I've taken on mindful rambles around Windsor and Eton. That'll be on sale into January. They're on the website. Check out the shop. Also, my companion book, we talked about colouring in. There's loads of pages in there with regard
regards to doing your own colouring in, creating your own, and some ideas in there as well. So the companion book is still on sale. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye.